So we look at the ending, the last chapter in the book of Matthew presents our Savior as King. And we see here the account of His resurrection. Now the resurrection of Jesus is probably the central event of all of Christianity and very important. We're not going to really spend our time looking at the resurrection today. We looked at the importance of the resurrection when we went through 1 Corinthians 15. I'm sure we're going to be going over it as we go through the other Gospels. But we also have in here the Great Commission. As Jesus speaks to His disciples, and He gives them orders, really, as King. He tells them to do three things here in Matthew. And we're going to be looking at that, the Great Commission today, the orders that He gave them. And we see in the Mark's Gospel account that after He gave the Great Commission, He was received up into heaven, the ascension. And it was kind of like, you know, okay, now it's your guys' turn to go out and obey the orders as He left. But before we get into the Great Commission, there's one other thing I'd like to look at, and that is the topic of fear. We see here in this chapter that the guards shook in fear. They were afraid. They were afraid of the earthquake. They were afraid of the angel. And the angel said to the women, "Do not fear." And Jesus said to the women, "Do not be afraid." And we see why, as the angel said in verse 5. "But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified.'" How is it that we cannot be afraid? We look at the difference between the guards and the women. The guards were afraid of the earthquake. They were afraid of the angel. But the women didn't have to be afraid. The angel said, "Because you seek Jesus." And you know what? If we seek Jesus, we don't have to be afraid of anything. We see here in verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." You don't have to be afraid of the earthquake. I have all authority here on earth. You don't have to be afraid of hurricanes or tsunamis or getting struck by lightning or the economy or anything here on earth, because Jesus has all authority on earth. And if you're seeking Him, you're in line with Him, He's your personal Savior, you don't have to be afraid of anything on earth. You don't have to be afraid of the angel, as the guards were. They pretended like they were dead, scared out of their minds, this angelic being. But Jesus has all authority in heaven. And there's nothing even unseen, nothing spiritual, that He's not in charge of and have authority over. So you don't have to be afraid of the unseen. You don't have to be afraid of any spiritual thing. Angel, demon, anything. All fear eradicated. No need for fear. We see in the last verse, Haley, I like to read Haley's Bible handbook as I study the Bible. If you've never heard of it, something maybe to look into. A lot of insight. He says this is his favorite verse of the whole Bible. Verse 20. As he says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." You don't have to be afraid because Jesus has all authority, and Jesus will never leave you or forsake you, the Bible says in Hebrews. He's always with us. He's always present. We don't have to be afraid. The Bible says in Romans, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" And it goes on to list a whole bunch of things. Who or what can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Tribulations, trials, death, angels, demons, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. David said, "Where can I go to flee from your presence? If I go into heaven, if I go into the depths of the sea, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. Your arm is always there to help me." We don't have to be afraid because Jesus is with us. If we seek Him, if we're in line and allied with Him as our King, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear but God, God Himself. So the message we see here, fear not, do not be afraid. This is important as we approach the Great Commission because Jesus is about to give orders. And you know what? Oftentimes fear prevents us from doing actions, from doing what we're supposed to, from doing something. Well, we want to, but we're afraid. But here, Jesus says you don't have to be afraid. I'm going to tell you what to do, and you don't have to be afraid. You can do it. There's nothing to fear. As Jesus gives good reason not to fear. I am with you. All authority has been given to me. Fear not. So, fear doesn't have to prevent us from action. Many times, the Bible talks about how someone will try to encourage his men, a king, a general, as they get ready for a battle. They enter into a conflict. He said, fear not. Don't be afraid. God is with us. We will defeat them. And how, as we get ready to receive the orders from our King Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. He'll be with us to accomplish everything He asks of us. And there's nothing to fear. Fear does not have to prevent our actions. So now, let's get into the orders. Let's get into the Great Commission, as it's called. Look at verse 19. Jesus says, go, therefore. Because all authority has been given to me, you can do this. He says, go, therefore. First thing, and make disciples of all the nations. Make disciples. Does anybody here have a King James Version? It says, teach, instead of make disciples. And it's that Greek word definitely means, has that idea to teach. But it's actually the root word for the word disciple. Every single time the word disciple or disciples shows up in the New Testament, the Greek word in Strong's Concordance is number 3101. Except for one time, it's 3102, which is the feminine of disciple. And then one other time, it used 3100, which is this word, the root word for disciple. So this is a good translation as Jesus says, go make disciples. He means go teach, but more completely, go disciple. Go make followers. That's what disciple means, to follow, to be a follower of Jesus. These are your orders, Jesus says to his disciples. Go and promote the idea and concept of following Jesus as a way of life, being a disciple and a follower of Jesus. Notice here who he's talking to. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. His disciples, his 11 disciples, speaking to them. You know, if you're not a follower of Jesus, Jesus isn't asking you to go make followers of Jesus. He's talking to the followers of Jesus. And, you know, I look at this, I read this, and I hear orders from my King to me personally. I hear him talking to me, Jason. Your orders are to go and make disciples. Now, he who has an ear, let him hear. Does this apply to you? Orders from Jesus before he ascended into heaven. This is what I want you to be about. Promote disciples. Lifestyles followed, centered around the person of Jesus Christ, around following me and doing as I've showed, as I've demonstrated. Disciples, followers of Jesus, speaking to the disciples. Who are we to make disciples of? He says, of all nations. Jesus sent out his disciples once before. He said, go. I'll give you all authority over demons and diseases. Go heal the sick. Preach the good news. But he sent them to the Jews, to his people, to a specific group. This is different. Now Jesus is saying, go to everyone. No bounds, no boundaries. Go tell every person, every nation, go tell them to follow me. Go teach them to become followers of me, to become disciples. To whosoever will hear, will respond. You know, we're commanded and taught in Scripture to preach the gospel, preach the good news. Jesus died on the cross for you. We're sinners, and we need help. We need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. He loves you, and he wants to save you. And a proper response to the gospel is to become a disciple. Okay, I receive the gift of salvation, and I want to follow Jesus now. So as we're called to go preach the good news, part of that is the idea that people will respond and become disciples and followers of Jesus, following their Savior, following their King, Jesus. As we look at these three things, we're going to look at how Jesus demonstrates these three things in his ministry. And then we're going to look at how these 11 disciples obeyed. And they demonstrate these three things in the book of Acts during the early church. Jesus made disciples. That was one of the most important things he did on in his lifetime on earth. Sure, he died on the cross and saved us. That was important. But he picked out 12 men, and he was very, very intentional picking out the right people. And he spent a whole lot of his time and effort teaching these people to follow him, to become followers of him. And he left, and he had people who were disciples that carried on his legacy and made a difference. So Jesus demonstrates how to make disciples. He did it in the ultimate way. Then we see the disciples themselves. As Jesus ascended into heaven and the 11 disciples went off to Jerusalem and waited for the Holy Spirit to fill them and empower them. Then we look in the book of Acts and we see that they made disciples. It spread like wildfire. They preached the gospel and people responded. And thousands in one day became followers of Jesus. And it spread from there. And they listened to God's command as they went out into all the nations. They told everybody about Jesus, and they didn't just tell him. They promoted the idea of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. And oh, it works. And today, 2,000 years later, millions of people are disciples, followers of Jesus. And the orders from Jesus still ring today true for all of his children and all of his disciples. I still want you to continue to go and make disciples. Preach the good news. Promote the idea of people following me, living their life following me, making disciples. Jesus did it. The early church did it. Now you might think, man, I don't know how to do this. I'm going to mess this up. I can't do this. Don't be afraid. The person who's giving you these orders, he has all authority. And he's going to go with you. He's going to help you. He's going to be with you every step of the way, every word you say, every step you take. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to get all worked up. You don't have to fear it and back away, back down. You don't have to. You can do it because Jesus is going to help you and he's going to be with you. Do not be afraid. Do it. Receive the orders. Go and make disciples. Verse 19, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Second order Jesus gave his disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism. You know, we look through Scripture and we try to understand the concept of baptism. We know that people go to a service and they confess their faith in Jesus and someone submerges them in the water and they're baptized. And that's the literal ceremony of baptism that we're commanded to, in obedience, be baptized. And baptism is really a public demonstration of a personal decision you've made in your heart. And Jesus is saying, I don't want you to just go make followers. I want you to promote the step of becoming a part of the body of Christ and making a public declaration and demonstration of their connection with Jesus and his followers, of the personal decision they made in their heart. You know, there's different baptisms mentioned in the Bible. It's not like there's one baptism. The Bible says in Corinthians that we were all baptized into one body. And the idea of baptism is our way of saying, I'm a part of the body of Christ. But the Bible says when John the Baptist, he got his name from being one of those baptizers, he says, and he says it in many places, he says, I've come and I baptize you with water. And the Bible says in Acts that John came and had a baptism of repentance as they confessed their sins. And that's a kind of baptism. But there's others. John himself said, Jesus is going to baptize you in a different way. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And we find a couple places in the book of Acts. I'd like to read them real quick for you. In Acts chapter 8, verse 16. It says, "For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So here's a time where people were baptized, they were submerged in water, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen on them yet. They were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Different types of baptism. Look at chapter 19, verses 3 and 4. "And he said to them, Into what then were you baptized? So they said, Into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And in verse 5, when they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So these people, they were baptized into John's baptism. They confessed their sins. They repented of their sins. But Paul says, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, in association with Jesus Christ, not in association with John or with the idea that you're going to confess and repent of your sins. You need to associate with Jesus in your baptism. So baptism is really an act of getting with the program, demonstrating, hey, I'm with Jesus now. Some said, hey, I'm with John. I repent of my sins too. And they got baptized to show it. But that's not what to do today. We get baptized and we associate with Jesus. The word baptism means to submerge, to saturate. You could take a cloth and dip it in a dye and baptize it, and it would become a different color. It would be saturated. It would take on the scent and the color of what it was baptized in. So the idea of baptism is a literal event that takes place when we are submerged in water and associate with Jesus Christ. But also the idea of just being drenched and saturated in the truth of who God is and the person of Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit and His power in your life. So, Jesus giving us orders. I want you to baptize. I want you to promote people to associate with the body of Christ and do the act of obedience of becoming baptized. And I want you to promote them to be totally immersed and saturated in the truth of God, in the truth of the person of Jesus Christ, and in the truth of the Holy Spirit poured out in their life in an evident, powerful way. Baptism. The different types of baptism. So, did Jesus do it? We find in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 22, how Jesus baptized the people. He himself didn't baptize anybody, but his followers did. And then, of course, as John says, Jesus, the one who is coming, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So when the disciples went to Jerusalem and they waited on the Holy Spirit to fall, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Different kind of baptism. And Jesus did that. Jesus did that for them. And Jesus can do that for you. So yes, Jesus baptized. He promoted the association with a group. And he baptized people with the Holy Spirit. Did the early church do it? Man, read Acts. 19 times it says they baptized. It's like the main thing they did. And they did a lot of stuff. But you see, Philip baptizing this person. Everybody's baptizing. They're just following orders. They went out and they made disciples and they baptized them. Simply did what Jesus told them. They obeyed and it was practiced. It was done in the early church. You think, well, it's not my job to baptize people. And if someone maybe accepts Christ and he's saved and he's not really, never been baptized, not really associating with Christians, he's kind of off or she's kind of off on their own. Or maybe, you know, really the truth of God really isn't a real pertinent, real part of their life. They might be, you know, have an idea of something had in the past, but they're not, certainly not saturated and immersed and, you know, overflowing in the reality of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's your job to promote that as followers of Jesus. Jesus says, go and promote someone being baptized. Go and promote people being totally immersed and saturated in the Father, the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be afraid. Think, well, that's not my job. I don't want to offend people. Well, they've come to that conclusion. I've come to my conclusion. Let's just keep everything Don't have to be afraid. God's sending you. He's going to help you. He's going to show you how to do it and do it in the right way, not in the wrong way. He'll help. You don't have to be afraid. He's given you the orders. He's going to be with you each step of the way. Finally, verse 20, the third order, the last order he gives here in Matthew. Jesus says to his disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Teaching them the last thing Jesus commanded. Go teach them. Notice, first of all, here the progression. Jesus said, I've commanded you to go and make disciples, of whom? Everybody, whoever wills, all the peoples, all the nations, go out. Then I'm commanding you to baptize. Baptize whom? The disciples that you've made. Then he says, I want you to teach. Who do you teach? The baptized disciples. The progression there of what to be done. The orders. I want you to teach. I want you to teach them. Did Jesus do it? Well, looking at just the Gospel of Matthew, it says 9 times Jesus taught. Jesus went and teached. He went to the synagogues and he teached. He told his disciples, this is why I came, to go and to preach and to teach people in other cities. Jesus demonstrated in a very good way the idea of teaching people. He presented the truth. He helped them understand what the Old Testament said about him. He helped them understand who he was. As he worked, he laid it out. He said, no one has seen the Father, but I've come from the Father. He laid it out. He says, your sins are forgiven you. You can't forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. Let me explain it to you. I have power on earth to forgive sins. He went around teaching wherever he went, explaining truth. And so he demonstrated to us what he wants us to be about as we follow him and we are called to teach. Did the early church do it? In Acts, 12 times, we see Peter and Paul and the disciples teaching. Paul going to the synagogue, same way, teaching. Explaining the truth, telling people, working it out through the scriptures, working it out and teaching. And oh, it worked. Some responded and grew and understood, were healthy. Twice they were told not to teach, as the Pharisee says to the disciples, do not teach in the name of Jesus. He said, hey, you tell me, should I listen to you or God? Didn't stop them. The opposition didn't stop them. They taught. Real quick, we'll look at a couple of scriptures. If you don't have to turn there if you like. Acts 1:1. Luke wrote Acts. It says in verse 1, he says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Luke opens the book of Acts and he says, listen, I wrote to you before about what Jesus did and what Jesus taught. Now I'm going to tell you about how it continued, the doing and the teaching, here in the book of Acts through the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles. And one more. Like I said, there's 12 verses, but I want to look at just one more. Acts 5.42. Look at this. Acts 5.42. What did the early church do? Acts 5.42. And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Man, they listened. Jesus says, I want you to make disciples, I want you to baptize, and I want you to teach. And they turned around and they became disciple-making, baptizing, teaching machines. And it worked. And when we do what God tells us, it works. You think, well, I'm not qualified to teach. I'm not a good teacher. I can't do that. That's scary. You don't have to be afraid. Jesus has told you to do it. He's going to be with you every step of the way. He's going to help you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You can do it. You can promote the truth. Notice here it says, Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things. All things. Remember Jesus when he was tempted by Satan, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He commanded them, he didn't say, I want you to teach them 3 things. I want you to teach them the New Testament. I want you to teach them certain... No, I want you to teach them all things that I've commanded you. Tell them the good and the bad. Tell them that they will suffer. Tell him it will be hard and it will not be easy. Tell him the joy. Tell him it's worth it. Tell him they will spend eternity in glory. Tell him the whole truth. Tell him everything. The Bible says in Timothy, all Scripture is profitable. You might see something, well, I know this is what the Bible teaches, but I don't want to talk about that. That's not going to help anybody. Yes, it is. Jesus says, teach them all things. The Bible teaches all things in the Bible are profitable. Everything. Well, I know hell is real. The Bible teaches that. But I don't want to tell anybody about hell. I wish it weren't real. I don't want to try to scare people. Well, don't avoid what's reality. Teach the whole truth. Ask God to help you how. He'll do it. He'll go with you. He'll walk you through it one step at a time. All things that I have commanded you, the whole truth, you can do it. He'll be with you. Please stand. A couple things in closing. You might think, wait a second. Making disciples, isn't that God's job? I can't make a person a follower of Jesus. Baptizing, someone being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You said it yourself, Jason. Jesus does that. You know, teaching someone. Doesn't the Bible say the Holy Spirit will teach us? This isn't my job. I think I got an out. I can't do any of those things. You're right. These are not something you can accomplish. This is God's job. Jesus does this. But as your king, he's sending you. He says, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to accomplish it through you. But he's sending you. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. As he gives his orders in the Great Commission, he'll be with you. Where do I start? How can I do this? Those are the right questions. Those are the things you look at and you explore and you try to answer. The Bible says in the book of Acts, when Jesus fell, the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles, that they went out and preached the good news in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. Start where you're at. Start at your home and your school and your job. Who's around you? Start there. And then work out from there. How can you venture out from there? Where can you go from there? Follow Jesus. I'd like to say real quick, two more things and then we're done. For anybody here that isn't a follower of Jesus, I'd like to encourage you to follow Jesus. He's the answer. It's worth it. He loves you. He'll help you every day. He'll be there. He'll never leave you. You don't have to be afraid of anything if you seek him, if you become a follower of him, if you center your life around following him. Follow Jesus. For anybody that hasn't been baptized, out of obedience, get baptized. For anybody that hasn't been, it doesn't feel like they're totally drenched and immersed in the things of God and the Holy Spirit, or it's kind of a side thing, jump in. Now, there's a saying in the that goes around during the Calvaries, get under the spout where the power comes out. Give it everything. Take it all in. Get saturated and immersed. And if anybody wants to learn, oh, it's worth it. Dig into God's Word. This is an amazing book. Make it a part of your life to understand. I'd encourage you to follow Jesus, to be baptized, and to learn. And then finally, just an encouragement for all of us that are followers of Jesus. Let's fulfill the Great Commission. Let's strengthen our resolve. Let's put off all fear and obey what Jesus has commanded us as our King, as our Commander. Let's live our lives for this cause. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us clear orders. We confess our fears and our inabilities. We can't do these things. But we want to obey. Help us. Fill us with your Spirit. We want to follow you. We want to promote the right things. We know what you tell us to do is the right thing for us to do. Help us, Lord. We want to go out. We want to fulfill what you've asked of us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.